We're about midway through June, and we've seen a few glimpses of weather we normally associate with summer when it's sunny and warm. But the start to this season was more like that old blues tune, Call It Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. It seemed like every day of the week was cool and rainy. And while that makes many of us complain about scuttling plans to go hiking or picnicking, the wet weather has more serious consequences for farmers. To explain how farmers around the state are being affected by the cold and wet conditions and what they'll try to do to recover, I'm joined by Kirsten Workman. She's an agronomy specialist at the University of Vermont Extension. Kirsten, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure.
What are the chief problems for farmers when the weather is too cool and wet?
Well, when it's cool and wet early in the spring and into the now getting to be summer, there's a lot of things that get delayed, first of all. So for those dairy and livestock producers, their first cut of hay has mostly been delayed. And when that happens, you actually get increased yields, right, because the crop gets to grow longer. But often quality can be sacrificed. So as grasses mature, they lose their quality in terms of protein and digestibility for the animals that you're going to be feeding them to. Luckily with hay, we have more cuts coming. So after we get that first cut off, usually farmers can kind of get a little bit caught up on the quality end of things. A bigger probably delay that's more cumbersome and troublesome for the farmers would be delayed planting of their annual crops. When it's really wet and really cold, they can't get out and plant things like corn, or if you're a vegetable producer, your annual vegetable crops, then that is hard to get caught up from.
They take a hit economically from that, right?
Well, they can, yeah. If you can't get your corn crop planted, you potentially can't get that crop for the season if it never gets in the ground. If it's late, like we are now, what ends up happening is they have to choose a different hybrid of corn that's a shorter season. And often those can have lower yields, not always. So they can have a reduced yield from that corn silage crop if they're going to harvest it.
What strategies can farmers use to sort of have a buffer against that economic hit?
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, a lot of folks who have stored feeds, they might have a surplus from the year before. So depending on what their inventory was. So we tend to see, like, we might have a boom year and then a bust year, and they may be able to make it through that because they have enough in inventory from the really good year to kind of squeeze it through. It's when you have multiple years in a row where you have a challenging cropping season and low yields, that would be into a place where a farmer would then have to either buy more grain and the livestock to feed those cows or buy other forages. So if they're short on hay or short on corn silage or sorghum and things like that, they would then have to get those imported off the farm.
And do these conditions affect all kinds of farmers in
yes.
the state? Really? It's not just folks who hay
and corn?
If
you call any farmer today, they're a little hairy. Strawberries are late. All the fruit set is kind of delayed. And just in general, being out to get out and do the normal things they might be doing. So there also can be, you know, field work like cultivating weeds in the vegetable industry. You know, you can't get out and cultivate when it's really wet, but the weeds do just fine. Cold weather can also just get things off to a slow start. So there are several farms who got at least some of their corn in on time in May and kind of hit a good window and got some of that planted. But the corn itself doesn't look super happy. It's just been kind of sitting there and stalled. So you see a lot of that, both in those summer annual forage crops, but also in our vegetable crops where things just kind of aren't growing as they usually do.
Vermont farmers go back generations, obviously. Mm-hmm. This is a farming state.
Yeah.
I kind of get the feeling they've seen it all.
Yeah.
But do they talk about climate change?
Yeah. I mean, we talk about weather all the time with farmers, right? And so as they notice those trends over time, you do hear comments about mostly about the extreme variances in weather. So, you know, when it's dry, it's really dry. And when it's wet, it's really wet. Or instead of getting the rain sort of over time, getting it all at once. So I feel like this kind of weather this year actually is a little bit more normal, actually, where it's kind of spread out. It's just a little inconvenient. But we do see farmers adapting to being able to be more flexible, I think is the word, and just being able to make a decision on the fly. So instead of just doing something like, this is the way we plant corn, or this is the way we're going to do our hay crop, having lots of options available. So, I can't make dry hay first cut because it won't stop raining. I'm going to make haylage or those round wrap bales that can be a little bit wetter than a dry bale of hay. And then maybe I'll get dry hay second or third cut.
But it's never easy,
no.
Is it?
No. That's why they do it. It's fun and challenging, right?
Yeah, right. Sure. That's exactly why people get into farming. Is there any way that farmers can prepare for more extreme and unpredictable weather in the future?
Looking at having just really good soil health makes the farm more resilient. If we can have really healthy, high-functioning soil, plants tend to be more resilient. And so we talk a lot about that in extension with our farmers. So looking at how do we reduce tillage and increase use of practices like cover cropping, really pay attention to things about when you put manure on the ground. Farming is a very scientific endeavor, and so farmers are very interested in that kind of information, and they look at long-term weather trends like they look at long-term, you know, price trends of their products. So they're constantly trying to adapt and innovate to be better and more resilient and more flexible.
Still too early to tell if this season is kind of a loss, or like you said, there may be time to recover? Or
I think so, yeah. I mean, there will probably be fields where it might be a loss, and they just don't get a crop planted. And they may adapt also, and maybe instead of corn, grow a shorter sort of summer crop like a millet or a sorghum, which won't be quite as high yielding or quite the right kind of quality that they're used to. But I don't think it's going to be a total loss for anyone. The one big thing is, you know, really looking for disease pressure later in the season, things like powdery mildew and northern corn leaf blight. And in the vegetable industry, there's, right, you have so many crops, there's lots of diseases that can be susceptible. You know, we'll be looking at things like pest pressure and if those things alter. Pests tend to be sort of subdued, I feel like, when it's wet, but then you might then get a big flush after. And if plants are suffering because of the cool weather and the wet weather, and then a disease or a pest does come in, then they're just less able to withstand that. So lots of folks will just be kind of keeping an eye on stuff as it does come in. In a wet year too, we look at nutrient cycles too. So there might be that a farmer needs to go back out and put a little bit more nitrogen on because they didn't get to use it in the crop. It might have washed out with some of the rain. So they'll have to come back in and figure that out later in the season.
Really is a scientific endeavor, as you say.
It is.
Yeah. Kirsten Workman is an agronomy specialist at UVM Extension. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, my pleasure.